Okay. Can I have your full title there, please?
Spokesperson and Consul for Media Affairs at the Consulate General of Israel in New York.
Okay, could you, when we begin in 1995, perhaps one of the most trying times for him was when Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated and he became prime minister. Take us back to that time and how he settled the nation, I suppose, and carried on after that traumatic event.
So 1995 was a culmination of a very, very long road for Shimon Peres already then. He had been working towards a peace deal with the Palestinians for many years. And Prime Minister Rabin was assassinated perhaps at the peak of the negotiations for a peace deal. There were many people trying to undermine that peace deal. There were Palestinian terrorists blowing up buses and cafes in Jerusalem. There was obviously the assassin who killed Rabin. And the whole project of the peace with the Palestinians fell into Shimon Peres' hands. So personally, as well as collectively, it was a very crucial time.
How did the public react at that moment when he took over? Did he reassure the public, the Israeli public at that time?
Well, you have to remember that at the time, the idea of a two-state solution to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, the idea of setting up a Palestinian state, was not as widely accepted in Israeli society as it is today. Today, all the polls show that there is an overwhelming majority of Israelis who support such a solution. At the time, Shimon Peres and his colleagues were still making a big effort to sell this idea on the Israeli public, who was suspicious of the PLO, which had always been a terrorist organization which has killed hundreds of Israeli civilians. They were going through, as I said, a wave of terror attacks at the time. So it was a huge effort for Shimon Peres to keep the public committed to this idea and to try and push forth the vision that he had.
You mentioned his efforts toward peace. He was also a man who made sure that Israel had a very strong defense. He built up the defense forces. Can you tell us a bit more about his history there?
So Shimon Peres actually began his public service in the field of defense. He was actually sent here to New York by David Ben-Gurion, our first prime minister, to lead the efforts to procure armaments from American companies. He rose to the rank of head of the Naval Service and Director General of the Ministry of Defense. And throughout all this time, his emphasis was on building the force of the nascent Jewish state. Remember, at the time, we had no regular army. We had very little in the way of defense equipment. And he really laid the groundwork for having self-sustained, independent and autonomous military capability. And to be very honest, it's something that he paid a personal price for because, you know, Israeli society, especially back at the time, very much prized the ethos of the warrior. And while other political leaders were at the time on the field fighting, Shimon Peres was providing them the wherewithal to fight and defend themselves. So the state was very much the beneficiary, but I think his own political standing in Israeli society would have been stronger had he been on the front line rather than providing the defense equipment.
He shared the Nobel.
He's also credited with giving us our own aerial defense industry, our own the different companies that deal in air defense, which is the basis for the Israeli tech industry, which is today one of the most dynamic and innovative tech industries in the world. So there are really many fruits that were born from these efforts.
He was the first Israeli prime minister to speak to a Muslim parliament, the Turkish parliament. What was the reaction in Israel when he did that?
Well, Turkey has always been a country that Israel has looked to as a potential ally. It goes back to Ben-Gurion's doctrine of reaching out to what we call the peripheral countries, which at the time was Turkey, Iran, and Ethiopia. And I think the Israeli public was delighted that finally the defense cooperation is complemented by a more normal political and public relationship between Israel and Turkey.
He shared the Nobel Peace Prize. What was the reaction in Israel to that?
Well, at the time that the Peace Prize was granted, there was a lot of optimism in Israel about the peace process with the Palestinians. It was before a lot of the trials and tribulations that the peace process has gone through since then. So it was a time that I think all Israelis who were around at that time reflect upon with as being a time of great hope.
Former President Bill Clinton had some kind words for Shimon Peres today on the BBC World Service. Did he have a special relationship with certain U.S. presidents over others? How were his relations with the White House?
So, first of all, Shimon Peres had a very unique ability to create incredibly close personal relationship with world leaders from many, many different countries. And I had the privilege of sitting in on a few of these meetings, and he really had a special kind of charm, a special kind of emotional intelligence, perhaps, that allowed him to build these very strong personal relations, which we're now seeing the fruition of in the form of all the world leaders who are coming, will be coming to the funeral on Friday. In particular, in the White House, he had close relations, as you mentioned, with President Clinton, no less with President Obama. In fact, with every American president that he dealt with, he managed to form an especially close relationship.
Now, very few politicians get through their careers without some controversy. What controversy did he perhaps endure, and how is it now regarded in Israel?
Well, actually, until his last public official position as president of Israel, Shimon Peres was a hugely controversial politician in the Israeli society. He was within his own party. He had bitter rivalries, as I mentioned, with Yitzhak Rabin and with others. He was advocating for ideas that were hugely controversial and were not widely accepted by the Israeli public. So, to be quite honest, most of his life he spent being a controversial figure, someone who incited resentment as keen as the admiration that he had. And it was only towards the end of his life as president that he really placed himself in the center of the consensus. He became one character, that one political public figure, or not even political figure, a statesman that the entire Israeli society from left to right could rally around. But that's only something he enjoyed after a very, very long journey of never being quite everyone's cup of tea.